Well, it's Wednesday, the 24th day of February. Tuesday night was an eventful night. Pretty big night for the Denver Nuggets, finding a way to beat the Portland Trailblazers. We're going to get into that. We'll get into a Tiger Woods update as well. Good and bad news, right? The good news is that he's coherent. He's talking. You know, it's in his legs. A lot of surgeries in the legs, and we'll get into more details there. But I think we all were kind of in that mode because it wasn't, what is it, about a year ago with the Kobe Bryant story. So that was devastating for everyone. And so I think we were all at that point with Tiger Woods. It's like, oh no, here we go again. You know what I don't like about this, Colfax? Well, there's a lot of things I don't like about it. You get a lot of these trolls on social media now that are like, you know, Kobe, Tiger. It's like, people die every day. Why is everybody crying over these guys? It's because we all know these guys. We all know them. Colfax, if you and I get in a car accident, our immediate family and friends certainly care. But it's not like national news. It's not. This is global news. It's like, people, get a grip, man. Use your logical brain if you have it anymore. It's like, we all know who Tiger Woods is. If you were, I don't care if you're a golf fan or not, you know who Tiger Woods is. Same with Kobe Bryant. Same with celebrities. We all know them because we see them. That's the answer to that puzzle in your brain. My goodness. It's, people find negative outlooks no matter what. It's crazy, man. It's nuts. First Advantage text line, 970-478-1301, 970-478-1301. Going back to this one, though, Nuggets, Trailblazers, is Jusuf Nurkić ever going to play anymore? I mean, how often does he play? I mean, it seems like he's been hurt ever since really getting traded over to Portland off and on. I think that guy's a monster. I love watching him play. Completely different player than Nikola Jokic, but I still like watching him play. I kind of miss him, but obviously Nuggets got the better end of that deal. It was back and forth. Denver wins 111 to 106. Big win for Denver. 17 and 14, now 9 and 6 at home. I'm watching the game, though. Okay, Carmelo Anthony, we all know the story, and I want to take some time to talk about that. That might be a future poll question about his jersey number. He goes off in the second quarter. I mean, that's Melo now. I mean, he's not a superstar anymore. He's a reserve, and he's going to go off, and he's going to have big nights, and he's going to have nights where you don't even remember he's in the NBA. Well, last night was one of those nights. You know, he had 24 points. A lot of those points came in a bunch in the second quarter. He was unstoppable. The Blazers get the lead and kind of start pulling away. Denver has a bad second quarter, but Joker's in the process of single-handedly bringing the Nuggets back into the game, keeping them in the game. Melo, I don't know how many points Joker had in like a span of, you know, for a minute or two. But instead, the crew from TNT, while Joker goes from 11 to 23 points, here's what the crew from TNT is talking about.
Carmelo Anthony's having a monster second quarter here. He scored 13 of the 16 for Portland, and there's Jokic to quiet down the run. There's a lot of bad blood, bad feelings. Melo wanted out. He didn't want to sign that max extension back then 10 years ago. He wanted the max extension but wanted to play elsewhere.
Yeah, I mean, that's a great question, B. And I guess it depends on, from the organization perspective, who's still in place, whether to let those feelings go away. And those feelings right there by Jokic is all about getting buckets right now.
Murray on the back cut. Morris in the lane to Jokic. And Jokic again. That's 23 for Joker.
Okay, so that was good. There was TNT and then there was the altitude mix. Joker comes in. Joker basically, I don't know, Denver's down by a few points or whatever. They lost their lead. Portland goes on a massive run. Carmelo, right? Rightfully so. Let's talk about him. It's a good story and he's scoring. But then Joker comes in off the bench, or obviously his second stint off the bench coming in. He had 11 points. And in this run, he jumped up to 23 points. He had 8 points in a row. In a row. And the whole while, they're talking about Melo. And then they say bad blood. I don't know that it was bad blood. I still think that move saved the Nuggets for years to come. That move was huge. Jamal Murray is one of those pieces from that move because of the draft pick. That all being said, it just was, I was outraged by it. I was like, I tweeted about it. I was like, you got a league MVP candidate literally keeping the Nuggets in the game with an 8-point scoring barrage. And you're talking about Carmelo Anthony, who is having a great game, especially for where he is at this point in his career. Yet you barely even acknowledge it. How does a guy go from 11 to 23 and you just kind of nonchalantly say, ah, Joker with 23 there? I just thought that's still, again, part of the disrespect that you see toward the Denver Nuggets. Power to Play Sports poll question of the day. We'll sidestep for a second. When the time comes, I don't want to hear any of the, well, we're in COVID and all. When the time comes, will you go to a Rockies game? Just think about it. Don't answer quickly. Think about it. I come up to you. I see you. It's 2 o'clock in the afternoon. We're out on a meeting, and I say, you know what? Rockies tickets are cheap, man. It's a beautiful day in springtime. You want to go down and watch the Rocks? You going to pass that up? You going to not go because the Nolan Arenado thing and, you know, Dick Monfort slapped you in the face? Come on. Let's see. Let's see what the hooligans are thinking. Go to thewholeshow.com. And again, that's the Power to Play Sports poll question of the day. It's like 70% yes. You'd still go to a Rockies. The boycott's not happening, man. That's not a real thing. Like 77% of the hooligans are saying yes. They're going to still go. I mean, I get it, man. You feel betrayed. I talked about this yesterday. I get it. You know, you feel like Dick Monfort and Jeff Bride has just kind of slapped you in the face as a Rockies fan. I've kind of starting to feel more or less this way. What were you going to do? And I've heard everybody keep saying, yeah, hang on to him. You're against. I think the people that love Nolan Arenado would think that was worse. Because you're not letting him go. You're going to hold. This year is going to be bad no matter what. With or without Nolan, ask any Rockies deep insider. They would have told you the same thing. The Rockies were not going to make any moves this offseason because they got so many guys under contract. Next year will be the year they make moves, including, you know, big one. We'll see what happens with Trevor Story. But you knew this team was not going to do anything this year. So your response is hang on to Nolan for one more year against his wishes? That's what it would be, according to Dick Monfort. He wanted out sooner rather than later, and he got out. Now, I am not, and I'll say this a bazillion times, I'm not excusing what they got or lack thereof in return for Nolan. You know, I wish they could have got a name that would have made us all feel better. They didn't. They botched it. I get it. I don't know that anybody was willing to dance with them. And maybe this is just where it landed. I don't have that information. I'm not privy to that. I have my thoughts. I have my opinions. I do know this. It's never as easy as us outside of the business think it is. So I will say that. Again, not excusing Jeff Breidich. This whole thing started with Nolan being frustrated that they weren't doing enough to build around him. Jeff Breidich's response was less than ideal to Nolan, and a screaming match ensued. I don't know, you know, again, I don't know how deep that went, but apparently after that moment, Nolan was done, and he felt disrespected. He said as much. There's a lot of disrespect in that office. That's what he said. And there was no going back. Well, Brady, why didn't they just fire Jeff Breidich and hire a new GM this year and Nolan would be happy? Okay. Off the top of your head, name a hot and up-and-coming guy that is up for a promotion that is going to be a must. Name a George Payton general manager for the Rockies.
John Elway.
There you go. That's it. That's about as crazy as it sounds, right? Like, just go hire another guy. Who? And if that guy was that good, why is he available right now? I mean, come on. I've heard this. Seriously. They should have fired Breidich in the offseason and hired a new GM. This is post, well, I guess we're still in COVID, but this is recovery mode for baseball. I don't see a lot of teams like the Rockies going out saying, hey, we're going to go overhaul this thing. We're hiring a new GM, and then he's coming in 2021, and we are basically laying waste to everything we know. We're rebuilding. We're starting from scratch. That's what you want with Nolan? No, I wanted him to get aggressive in free agency. Low to mid-market teams are not getting aggressive in 2021. And again, we can look at that more. I know the Rockies didn't. Not trying to defend what they got in return for Nolan. I'm just, all I'm throwing out there is this was a no-win situation once Jeff Breidich and Nolan got into the screaming match. Was it Jeff Breidich's fault in response to Nolan's frustration? Yes, I'll go there. But after that, it wasn't going to work. What did I say at the beginning of the 2020 season? If the Rockies do not make the playoffs in 2020, with or without pandemic, Nolan will be gone in 2021. I said that because he's going to look at the situation and say, wow, we can't even win when there's 60 games. We can't even win at that stage. And we're not showing any signs of growth. We're taking steps back. And who's the prospects coming up? So Nolan was going to be gone. And this whole idea that why didn't they just hang on to him for one more year? They weren't going to get anything anyway. You guys remember Troy Tulowitzki toward the end of his career? It was rumored that he was quite the cancer inside of the clubhouse. Would that have been Nolan's fate? I don't know. Colfax, you tell me. If you go to management today and tell management that you're frustrated with the radio station because we're not building around you with enough talent, how do you think the rest of your coworkers are going to feel about you?
Not good.
I think that they were all deep down a little frustrated because who's he talking about?
Blackman.
Right?
Story.
Oh, maybe not. Maybe Story's the only one. Like, maybe Trevor Story's the only one. But there's nobody else on this roster. You know, if you're looking at it and you think, well, okay, you know, he's not talking about me. Or is he? There's only so many guys on the roster, Colfax. It could be anybody. I mean, Ryan McMahon doesn't feel that way. Garrett Hampson. I mean, you tell me how that ultimately works. And it's not like Nolan had the best season in the pandemic. I'm just trying to put some logic to this whole thing. I'm not giving up on the Rockies. In fact, I'm very interested to see how Trevor Story does this year. I know he has some big goals, and I want to talk about it. I'm very interested to see how a guy like John Gray does. Is he finally going to meet his potential? Is that going to happen? I mean, there's a lot of storylines still around this team. I know it feels like, I don't know if you guys, it feels like the first season of Game of Thrones when, spoiler alert, give you time, when Ned Stark dies, right? It kind of feels like, well, damn, the main character's gone. What the hell do we do now? Well, then you start building up on the other characters and okay, this is pretty good. Until he trashed it in season 7 and 8, whatever. And that's how it feels. I get it. When Nolan left, it's kind of like, well, now what? Like at the end of Forrest Gump, your favorite movie, Colfax. Forrest Gump's running, and everybody starts following him, and then he gets to the end. He's like, I think I'll go home now. And they're like, what the hell do we do now? You guys hitched your wagon to a player, and I get it. I understand it. You and I talked yesterday off the air, and I said, you know, basketball's a much different sport. Would we be feeling the same way about the Nuggets if the Nuggets up and traded Nikola Jokic in the same fashion? Basically, got nothing in return, paid a team money. Would we feel the same way? Would you? Yeah, I think so. Basketball, to me, though, speaks a little bit more to a player. You know, a third baseman can only control so much.
The Nuggets are missing playoffs if Jokic isn't there.
Exactly.
Fact.
Nolan didn't make or break the Rockies. Right. He didn't. That's the fact. That's true. The Rockies didn't make the playoffs last year. They weren't going to make the playoffs this year. When they did make the playoffs, Nolan was a part of that. But was he the reason? Joker leaves Denver, and you are you're probably a bad team. Yeah. I mean, what do you have if you don't have Joker? I mean, look what happened last night. So I know you guys don't want to hear this, and it's frustrating, but I'm just saying it started with Nolan not liking your roster. The guys that I've mentioned, I'm saying outside Trevor Story, maybe Germán Márquez, the rest, he didn't think that was good enough for him. And that's how it started. And then Jeff Breidich didn't handle the conversation that well. Pete says, Rocky games are not about baseball. It's an experience in Colorado weather, view of the opposite gender, and beer. Here's a take on Nolan. When every superstar is available, always Yankees and Red Sox are in the mix. Why not them at all in the trade talk? Value? Yeah. Yeah. I honestly, I don't know why. This happened abruptly. Colfax, you remember we had Drew Kreisman on the day the rumor mill started, right? And Drew kind of love Drew, but he kind of laughed it off like, I don't know. I always hear this. And then the next day, even that day, it was done. So I don't want to pretend to get into things that I don't know. I don't want to act like the Rockies just quickly went to this, but I have a hard time in my brain thinking that they didn't make several calls to those players you just mentioned, Pete. I mean, we all kind of thought maybe Nolan would be in a Yankees uniform. Did they make that call? Mark Knutson, who played this game, and you hear his Knutson corners on this station all the time, and great blog that he puts together, the Three Strikes blog, he said that no one would take that contract, especially after, well, no, not especially, but just no one would after the COVID situation. No one would take that contract. Well, the only way someone would take that contract, we forgot, is, oh, you can pay some money to do that. Was it? Did it look good? No, but that was the only way someone was going to take the contract. Nolan did thank the Monforts in his farewell speech. Not Breidich, but he did thank the Monforts. Is there a possibility that Nolan went to Dick again and basically said, dude, I want out. I don't even want to be here. I'm done here. Is it a Deshaun Watson situation? And Dick did moved on. I mean, I think it was tough for him. He said he's a fan. And if you're a fan of the Rockies, you were a fan of Nolan Arenado. I just think that it was a bad deal. Is it franchise ending in your mind? Like, to you, your fandom is gone because this whole Nolan Arenado situation was botched.
It was for about 5 minutes.
It was for 5 minutes, I'll agree. I was pretty pissed. I was. And then I kind of stopped and sat and thought about it more. And like, man, think about this roster. Think about this roster that's going to training to spring training. None of you were good enough for Nolan Arenado. And bottom line is this. What was having the best third baseman, perhaps, in history doing for you?
Costing a lot of money.
And were you making the playoffs?
Once or twice.
Yeah, you made what, twice? Breidich made it twice. So, and that's the other thing I joke with people about. They don't like it. You hate Jeff Breidich. He's the worst general manager ever. The Rockies have been to the playoffs 5 times. And under Jeff Breidich, they've been twice. I mean, I know. Colfax, I kill you with facts, man. I know people like to just throw these things. Breidich is awful. He's the devil. I can't stand him. He's probably the most successful general manager the Rockies have ever had. I know. Put that in quotes. Put that on Twitter. I would get roasted for that. I'm getting roasted for it now. I mean, this is just the way it is. I'm just trying to take a step back, acknowledge that crap happened. Nolan was unhappy. Jeff Breidich handled it like a baby, not like a general manager. And the relationship became so hostile that it was you couldn't repair it. And here we are. Well, Brady, they should have just fired Breidich. And then what's your next move? Dick Monfort hires another guy that he likes. That's basically his retainer. Well, Dick Monfort needs to sell the team.
Does that make Nolan stay? Is he magically happy now?
Think about that process. I mean, he sells the team. How long does that take to get a new owner here? Do you even have time to get Nolan? Like, he's done.
That's it.
He wants to win a World Series. So if Dick Monfort sells the team, new owner comes in, how do you know that this one's any better? I just think that there's always these sports takes of Dick needs to sell the team. The Broncos need to give everything for Deshaun Watson. The Nuggets need to trade for a superstar today. Well, are you willing to pay those prices, sports fans? Are you willing to trade Jamal Murray? Are you willing to mortgage your future and trade one of your only Pro Bowlers, Bradley Chubb, for Deshaun Watson? Are you willing? Really, Dick Monfort sells the team. What does that process look like? A year? 2 years? Nolan's got 1 year left on the contract. Is he going to sit and wait? Sometimes as a sports fan, you got to take a step back. And you have to look at everything logically. What actually makes sense? These are still businesses. They are still businesses. This isn't your video games. This isn't Madden. Oh, I don't like this guy. Trading everybody. Doesn't matter if I suck. I can restart. 24 minutes after the hour. Power to Play Sports poll question of the day. It sounds like the Hooligans are on my team, though. Because 80% of you are still going to Rockies games. When the time comes, will you go to a Rockies game? That's the Power to Play Sports poll question. 80% say yes. Well, there you go. All right, go to thewholeshow.com to vote. We'll talk more about the Rocks. We'll talk about the Nuggets. I want to get into that last night. That was a big game. Jamal Murray, inconsistent, and then bam! Whoa! All-star. We'll be right back.
Catch Inside the Bears Den, presented by Chris Musa Agency Allstate Insurance, Tuesday nights, Northern Colorado's voice, 1310 KFKA. What's happening in your own backyard? Listen to NoCo Now with Tanner Schwint on Northern Colorado's voice, 1310 KFKA.
This is Brian Howell, Colorado Buffalo's beat writer for the Buff Zone, and you are listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
Shout out to Fresh Coat Painter South Platte. You can get a free mini cooler just by calling the folks at Fresh Coat and a free painting quote, 970-414-4131. First Advantage text line, 970-478-1301. That was a nice game for Denver. 111-106. I certainly wondered. You had that second quarter. You know, Denver was up, I think they were up 12 at one point in the second, but they only scored 23 to Portland's 32. Evened it out in the second half, though. Joker with another monster game. 41 points, had a steal, 5 assists, 5 rebounds. Man, he looks better every night. I did like what one of the commentators on TNT said last night. There's a difference between speed and quickness. Joker doesn't have speed, but he is so quick. It's amazing. Like, his spin moves inside, I mean, that dunk he had at the end to basically end the game was like fake, woo! I mean, that was it's slow but fast but quick at the same time. Murray ended up with 24. I think he had 5 points going into the fourth quarter, and he just goes off with 24, 2 steals, 8 assists, 5 rebounds. He was 6 for 6 from the free throw line. It was a great game. It was. All right, so I want to talk more about that. It was a great game by Murray in the fourth. He did act like he was having some shoulder injuries there, but they certainly needed that performance by Jamal. That version that you saw in the fourth quarter of Jamal is Kobe-esque. He's an all-star, damn near an MVP candidate. But what you saw in the first three quarters is the biggest frustration that we all have with Jamal. When will he click? Whether it's a game, whether it's in the season, whether it's a week, when will he be consistent? 31 minutes after the hour, let's jump out of here real quick, Colfax, and get the latest on the local Sports Flash.
Hear Mornings with Gale, weekdays 6 to 9 on Northern Colorado's voice, 1310 KFKA.
This is Brian Howell, Colorado Buffalo's beat writer for the Buff Zone, and you are listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
Minutes after the hour. Welcome back to the show. It's getting a little heated in here today, Colfax. My goodness, talking about this Nolan Arenado Rocky situation going forward. It's going to be interesting. I'm still going to watch. I'm still going to, you know, if I have an opportunity, I'm still going to go to a game. I might even take Mark Johnson, the voice of the Buffs. If I can get him convinced to hang out with me, I might even take you to a Rockies game, Mark. What do you think?
I'll hang out. If you're buying, I'll hang out with you. That'd be awesome.
Yeah, I think it'd be a good time. You know what? At this point, man, I'm ready to buy a beer that costs like $400 at this stage because we haven't been to a game in so long. So I'm in.
You know, man, that's the crazy thing about, you know, fan discontentment with the Rockies and the moves they've made is that there's no better spot in the state of Colorado to be on a summer night than sitting in Coors Field, downtown Denver, right there in Lodo, and enjoying just the beauty that Colorado is. And so that's kind of the consternation that fans have, you know, because they get frustrated with what goes on with the team. But then, dang it, I want to go down to the ballpark and sit there and throw myself, you know?
Yeah. Well, that was our poll question. It is, are you still going to go to a Rockies game when you can? And most of our listeners are saying, yes, they're still going to go because you can't pass it up. You just said it. You can't pass up that opportunity.
Right. No, it is just spectacular. You know, I've done so many games down there over the years, both on the radio and doing the PA. And, you know, it's just such a phenomenal setting and the party deck and on and on. I mean, you know, the sunset, when you get to that point, you know, with those 7 o'clock games, we're midway through the ball game, all of a sudden the sun's setting behind, you know, the Rocky Mountains. And, I mean, it's just spectacular out there. And so, you know, I joked with some of the management of the Rockies one time, years ago. I was doing a speaking event with one of them, and I said, you know, you guys just, the whole baseball thing, just forget that. Just open that place up about 100 nights a summer just for having a party down there. I said, I still think 35,000 people would probably show up.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right, and that's the crazy situation that all of us Rockies fans are in. Mark Johnson joining us, the voice of the Colorado Buffaloes. And, Mark, the Buffs needed this last one against Oregon State. A tough, you know, a battle back and forth against Oregon. That was a fun game to watch. Yeah. Couldn't get the job done, but you and I talked about it last week. You said, okay, they're in the tournament, but they can't fall flat on their face. So beating Oregon State over the weekend was absolutely huge for the Buffs.
I thought that was huge. You're right. And it was, that loss at Oregon's not a bad loss in any way, shape, or form. But it was frustrating. And those 11 turnovers they had in the first 11 minutes of the second half, in my view, is really what changed things. Now, there's some rebounding things, on the defensive rebounding edge. I think they could have done some work. Defensively, there were some mistakes down the stretch. But still, I mean, it's not a bad loss. You lose at Oregon by 4 points. You're frustrated you didn't win it, but you walk out of there going, okay, that's fine. You know, Chad Boyle told me the other day he hasn't slept after a loss as well as he did after that game in a long time. So when I watched the video, we did a lot of good things and did things where we could have won the ball game. And, sometimes you tip your cap and go, son of a gun, they made a couple more plays than we did. That was one of those ball games. Now, the Oregon State thing, that would have been a totally different deal. They did go in there, and they did win that ball game, which they had to do. It's not easy on the road. But they went in there and got that win, and so you come away from that feeling good about that. Now, what a heck of an opportunity they've got. With the added game with Arizona State coming up next Thursday, you've got USC, UCLA, Thursday, Saturday this week. You've got the two teams that are sitting ahead of you in the standings. Now, chances are you're not going to catch them, but still, you can win some big games, improve your resume, then try and take care of business against Arizona State next Thursday. And you go into the Pac-12 tournament on a 4-game winning streak and feeling good about yourself and improve your seeding and all those kind of things.
Yeah, all those things you said. I mean, right now is the time where you want to be playing your best basketball. You want to bring that in to the conference tournament, to March Madness. You want to be able to have that so you can knock off some big-time teams. But like you said, tomorrow night, what a heck of an opportunity for the Buffs. Right now, it's all about setting yourself up, right? Setting yourself up for the conference tournament and potentially what that seed looks like in the NCAA March Madness tournament. I think we might have just lost Mark. Let's see if he's still there. Again, talking to Mark Johnson, the voice of the Buffs. We'll try to give him a call back if we can reach him. Get his thoughts on the Buffs and USC tomorrow night. That's going to be on ESPN2, 7 o'clock. Definitely excited. Man, there are going to be some amazing college basketball games on tomorrow night that have local meaning to it, I should say. Because obviously CU, USC, but Boise State and San Diego State play tomorrow night. That's a Mountain West battle. That's interesting. So some big games still for the Buffs. Now, losing to Cal, I think, still kind of left a bad taste in everybody's mouth for the Buffs. But then they go on the road and battle it out with Oregon. They almost pull off a win, just couldn't quite get there. Had to beat Oregon State, as we were talking to Mark about that. But then tomorrow night, I mean, this is a game where if you can beat USC, you find a way to get this W, nobody's talking about that Cal game anymore. And, I mean, that's easier said than done. USC is, top 20 at this point? 19 overall. So it's not going to be easy by any means. And then you have, like Mark told us, you got UCLA on Saturday. So that's gonna be one. I don't think we can get connected. I think Mark is such an outdoorsman, Colfax. If he's not broadcasting games, he is out in the wilderness somewhere. Am I right? Let me guess. He was on a horse.
Yeah, out on the ranch. Yes.
Well, he texted me earlier. I texted him, "Are you ready to go?" And he's like, "I'm working in the horse arena, and I just saw this." I mean, Mark is the guy on the buffalo, because he calls the buffalo games. Don't you just picture him out there riding a buffalo in the mountains?
Oh, absolutely. Fighting bears.
Yeah, all the time. Like, yeah. I picture him with one hand on the phone and the other with like a long knife fighting off a bear.
Yes.
Like, that's just him. He's a good dude. He's a cool guy. Big opportunity tomorrow night for the Buffs. And listen, they're in. Because honestly, Colfax, they were going to get in last year. Whether you agree or disagree, all the brackets, they did the prediction thing after the fact. Once we found out we weren't doing March Madness, they had all the bracketeers put them together. The Buffs were in. So if they were going to get in last year when they stumbled into the conference tournament and lost 5 in a row, then they're getting in this year. Now, it would look kind of rough if you go into the conference tournament losing 4 or 5 of your last 6. It would look a lot like last year. But the point is, the Buffs have had some big wins. They are a good team. They are in a pretty tough conference as far as Pac-12 teams go, or as far as the Pac-12 goes. And in basketball, I mean, they're pretty good. There's some good teams there. And like I said, you got USC sitting at 19, leading the Pac-12. But, you know, UCLA received 17 votes to get in. The Buffs received 8. Here's the thing, Colfax. Do the Buffs crack the top 25 if they can pull off the upset tomorrow night against USC? Maybe. They received votes after beating Oregon State on the road. So that just goes to show you, sometimes losing to bad teams like Cal is chalked up to, well, this year especially, but chalked up to just a bad night. Bad night of shooting. And that we talked about this yesterday. Even the greatest teams in college basketball have moments where they just are not feeling it. I tell you, this tournament, though, and we haven't talked a lot about it, we're going to get into it. We're registering people for our bracket challenge. That's going to be fun. So far, Eaton Country Club's thrown in a foursome. So that's tossed into the mix. We're working on a couple of different ideas. I'm hearing rumors of anywhere from a TV tossed into this thing. Yeah, a TV, a foursome for Eaton Country Club, some other things, like some sports memorabilia. We're getting all of that squared away. I mean, we give stuff away on the show. That's what we do. Our sponsors, like Fresh Coat Painters, South Platte, they step up because they like to hook listeners up for nothing. None of our stuff that we do costs listeners anything.
Just a little time.
Just a little time. You're going to fill out a bracket anyway.
Yeah.
Just copy and paste it over to ours. So we want to load this up. We usually do ours through CBS Sports, but they're not making their site available on March Madness until March 1st. So we got to check. So just bear with us, and we'll do it through ESPN if we have to, or Colfax and I will just handwrite it. Yeah. Every single one. I think last year we finally cut it off at 75. Because we were like, when do we cut it off? So we stopped at 75. We'll do the same amount, whatever, this year. So I'm going to take 2 listeners right now. If you want to get into our March Madness challenge, we just need an email. You guys know the rules with us. We don't save your emails to send out pesky updates on whatever. We don't do that. We're not salesy in that way. We just want you in. So I'm going to take 2 callers right now. I'm hearing, man, we might have a TV on the line. I know we've got the foursome at Eaton Country Club. I mean, this is a great place. If you're ever thinking about becoming a member, this would be your opportunity to do that. I'm going to take 2 listeners. Let's go caller number 3, caller number 5. Callers 3 and 5. All we need is an email address, and you're in. Look out for us, and we'll get you those emails sent off as soon as we possibly can start loading up the tournament. So 970-353-1310 is the First Advantage hotline. 970-353-1310. Callers number 3 and 5, you will get in to our 2021 whole show bracket challenge. 46 minutes after the hour. Take a short break. When we come back, Trevor Story. Does he have real potential to be better than Nolan Arenado, or is that just talk? And is he going to be a long-term Rocky, or is he the next one to go? We'll be right back.
Think your bracket can win it all? Join the Hull Show's Bracket Challenge and hear the latest in hoops on 1310 KFKA. It's a party in Northern Colorado's voice. 1310 KFKA, the Block Party, Wednesdays from 4 to 10 p.m.
Hey, it's Andrew Bogish from CBS Sports Radio. You're listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
I got another appointment this afternoon with the chiropractic standard. Like I said, you go in. Here was my process with this. I had heard about the chiropractic standard throughout Greeley for a while. And I've been to a chiropractor before. I've been to the place where you just pop in and they ask you where it hurts. And while you're answering in the middle of it, they're still cracking you. It doesn't matter. They're going to crack you. You leave. You feel a little relief. You're a little satisfied because you like hearing all those cracks. It's cool. Then you get in your car, you're driving, and suddenly you're like, yeah, still there. Next day, still kind of there. The next day after that, it's getting worse again. And so you're going to go every other day to this place and just, yeah, no. Here's what I like about the chiropractic standard. They sit down with you, they do x-rays, Talk about your plan. What do you want to achieve? Is it just back pain, or are you wanting to play sports? You want to lift weights, lifting your kiddos, whatever. They go through this process with you, and then they say, all right, here's the plan we've put together for you. And then you look through it, and you decide, all right, that's too expensive. That's too much. I don't think I can do that. Then you back it down. You back down what you need to do, and they'll say, all right, that's fine. You know, we just might need to stretch it out into another month or two or three. But you come once a week, you come twice a week, or what have you. But you can spread it out. You can eliminate one. You know, if three times a week isn't going to work for you, twice a week, maybe once a week. You figure it out. It's your schedule. And they are pros. Dr. Tyler Terry, Dr. Haley Harada, they know what they're doing. And I also like this, Colfax. They tell you right off the bat, you're not going to come in here in pain, and the first day, you're going to feel satisfaction. You're not going to walk away going, all right, I feel better. That's not the process. They do not crack you. They have tools, and now you got to look them up online, the chiropractic standard, and to see exactly how this process works. With me, my wife's even noticing it. She's like, you don't complain about your back nearly. I had my kid on my shoulders the other day for like, we were going for a marathon, man. It was like an hour. He was ready to go. He's patting me on the head. I'm like a Eeyore from Winnie the Pooh, man. I mean, it was beautiful. And I didn't feel any pain at all. I was able to go. My arms went numb just from holding him up on my shoulders for so long. But my wife's like saying, hey, you haven't been talking about it as much. My shoulders are starting to line up a little bit better. That's the chiropractic standard. If you're hurting, guys, trust me. If you've ever trusted me on anything, I want you to feel good. And that's the chiropractic standard. 7 minutes until the top of the hour. Our First Advantage text line is 970-478-1301. Power to play sports poll question. When the time comes, will you go to a Rockies game? Now it's 75% saying yes. All right, when we went to the commercial break, it was 81% saying yes. Now it's 75. So go vote. I'd like to see where you guys are, where the hooligans are on this situation. That's thewholeshow.com. When the time comes, will you go to a Rockies game? Trevor Story, and we're going to play this in the second hour. Trevor Story and Bud Black said all the right things yesterday. Story is... You know, he's not talking about the future much. You know, he has big goals, but he's just talking about this year and where he is. He was asked kind of like to talk to us about your future, you know, because he's going to be a free agent after this season. That's big time trade rumors. I think we all feel that Trevor Story's the next guy to go because he's not going to want to stay here. He said, I'm focused on personally being the best teammate I can be. I try not to look too far ahead. I'm trying to be where my feet are, which is right here in spring training with the Rockies. Now, most of the time I would say, that's fine. You know, you don't want to give us anything. We don't know the future. But a lot of times guys that have been with the organization for a bit will still say, yeah, I mean, I'd love to work something out here. Even if it doesn't happen, they still say it, you know, yeah, I'd love to work it out here. But we'll just see. That doesn't commit you to anything. But he didn't even give us that. But maybe in the midst of all this Nolan stuff and all, he's just not willing to really give us anything or the media anything. He said, I'm focused on being the best teammate I can be. I try not to look too far ahead. I'm trying to be where my feet are. I don't know, man. If I was a betting man, do you think he'll be back in a Rockies uniform next year as much as I hate it? You know, because, again, it'd be Nolan and Trevor, the two of the favorites. I can't bet on that. I can't see it happening unless they're willing to pay him quite a bit, more so than enough to make it so, all right, I would like to grow with this team. Is Story where Nolan Arenado was a year and a half ago? Nolan has been very adamant that he wants to win, that he wants to win big, not just get into the playoffs. Nolan is dreaming of winning a World Series. He wants to win it all. All players will say they want to win it all, but this was clearly a point of, you know, extreme frustration on Nolan Arenado's part. There's a lot of players that are like, yeah, I kind of believe in the roster. I'd like to see what we could build here. But then there's guys like Nolan, which, again, I don't blame him for, basically saying, hey, I've achieved everything individually, you know, in my career. How many gold gloves, and I'm a great third baseman, I'm one of the greatest of all time. Now I want to win it all. Now I want to have chances. And in baseball, you know, not very often does one team just randomly have a great year and boom, they win the World Series. You got to be consistently good. You got to get, look how good the Dodgers are, and it's still difficult to win that World Series. Nolan just wants cracks at it, cracks at the World Series. And with the Rockies, even Dick Monfort said, it's You might not want to aim for going to the playoffs every year. 2 out of 5 years, yeah, it's not bad. And that's not a winning mentality. That's not the same mentality that Nolan has. All right, second hour. We'll get more into this with the Rockies. I mean, who has the most pressure going onto them heading into the season as far as an individual player for the Rockies? Not Trevor Story. Talk about it next.